Get ready to pay even more for petrol than you were expecting. Meeting in Vienna overnight, OPEC, which is the 13-member grouping of oil-producing nations, agreed to cut production by a bigger-than-expected 2 million barrels a day. It's the biggest cut in oil production since the height of the COVID pandemic in 2020. Craig Earlham is a senior market analyst with Oanda, and I spoke to him from London a short time ago.
Thanks for having me.
This is twice the size of the cut that many were expecting. What are oil-producing countries trying to achieve by doing this?
Yeah, it seems that the numbers being touted over the last week were growing by the day. It was 500,000 barrels, then Russia had suggested 1 million barrels, and that was a bit of a shock. And where we've ended up is 2 million barrels. And of course, when we look at how the last week has gone, the economic expectations do seem to be withering by the day. And I think the reaction we've seen in the market suggests that it's not actually that big a surprise. So that, I think, for one part says something about the state of the economic expectations going into 2023, but also to a large extent as well, just how much OPEC Plus as an alliance was underperforming. For months now, we've heard about these big production increases, but we've also heard along the same lines that they've just not been able to hit targets. It's much easier to scale down than it is to scale up. And therefore, a large portion of this production cut is actually already baked in because many of these countries are just simply not hitting their targets. So they're going to be going from missing targets by a long way to hitting targets because the new targets are lower. So the actual net effect of this, the actual real terms production cut could be closer to 1 million barrels a day, maybe even less. That is still a large number, but it's not quite as extravagant as the 2 million headline suggests. In terms of why they're doing it for a couple of reasons, I think. One is the economy and where the economy is headed. They're not the only producer group who are reducing their growth forecasts for the next 12 months. The IMF, the OECD, and many other organizations and central banks around the world are doing the same. And lower growth means lower demand. It's also, I think, the price. I think that's frustrated them a lot. The speculation in the markets pushing the oil price back down to around $80 a barrel, I think, has frustrated the group, makes it less profitable for them, makes it unprofitable even for some of the more costly producing countries. So I think that's another factor as well. But the thing that the US continues to allude to, and I'm sure other Western nations are alluding to, is one simple fact, and that is one member of the alliance is Russia. Russia has started a war in Ukraine. That's driven oil prices very high. And many of these nations, if not all of these nations, have refused to condemn the invasion. So there is a political aspect which the US continues to allude to, even though the alliance themselves and the member states say that that is not a part of their decision-making process. But again, a lot of skepticism around that.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has been calling Middle Eastern states to try and persuade them not to go ahead with this cut. Now, Russia and Saudi Arabia led the decision. Can this be read as a rebuke to the US?
It's hard not to. When you think that there was a big political sacrifice by President Biden when he made that visit to Saudi Arabia, it wasn't popular on the left of the party. It didn't align with the statements he made before becoming president. And it was a gamble on his part because they were going into the midterm elections in November and they were behind in the polls. They had to be doing something. They were seeing record fuel prices in the US. He couldn't be sitting there, seemed to be doing very little and having very little impact in order to try and make the cost of fuel cheaper for Americans. So he made this politically sensitive visit to Saudi Arabia in order to try and use some of this leverage, this power, this relationship to try and get a cut. And he achieved the cut. Unfortunately, the cut was 100,000 barrels a day in July. And that cut was then reversed in August. So they cut again by 100,000 barrels a day. So they wiped out any benefit that Joe Biden actually achieved by that small 100,000 barrel increase in output in July. And now both of those pale to insignificance compared to the cut that's been announced now. So now all of a sudden it looks as though the US and Joe Biden in particular has very little leverage. The relationship looks as though it's soured. And it seems that the two are simply not as aligned as they once were. And now Joe Biden has to find other ways to sell to the electorate ahead of these midterms that they do have power, they do have leverage, and that they will utilize that in order to stop prices going back to record levels?
Oil prices have fallen from the high of $130 a barrel we saw earlier this year, but the price of Brent crude has already surged 2% in the news. How high will prices go?
It's so hard to say because there's multiple factors that are in play here. On a normal basis, there is supply. There is how much these producers actually hit the targets which they expect to hit. There's disruptions, like, for example, we have hurricane season in the US, which can lead to outages on the Gulf Coast there. And then there's demand. And usually you can measure demand and forecast demand pretty reliably based on how the world global economy is moving. Now we have significant supply uncertainty because of these production cuts that we're seeing from the alliance. We've got massive supply uncertainty because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We've got massive uncertainty because the oil price cap on Russian crude, which is being discussed with the EU and the broader G7. And on top of that, we've got demand uncertainty. No one really knows what the economy is going to look like next year. We know it's looking more difficult. Interest rates around the world are rising. That leads to significant headwinds. But people are still at disagreement in terms of what impact the pandemic has had on savings and what that therefore means on interest rates. How impactful are interest rates going to be when people have a higher savings buffer than they've had in the past? So this creates enormous uncertainty in almost every side of the equation with the additional curveball of Ukraine. So it's very difficult to say ultimately where the price is going to go.
Craig Earlham is a senior market analyst with OANDA, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.
Me again, podcasters. I hope you're enjoying our coverage of international affairs on RN Brekkie. And if you're looking for more stories that put world events into context, then look for Between the Lines on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.